Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy.
Here is your daily Justin Bieber update. Now, finally, you remember the GPS on Justin's rented Lamborghini?
Yeah.
It showed he was not drag racing when cops pulled him over right before he was arrested.
Right.
Well, that same GPS shows that he was definitely speeding, but earlier in the night.
Okay, so that sounds right.
But what kind of speeding? Not like crazy drag race.
Well, when they pulled him over, the GPS showed, you know, when the cops pulled him over, he was actually driving 27 miles per hour under the speed limit.
Okay.
But that's what you do when you see a cop. You're slow down.
He had already stopped racing.
But earlier in the night, Justin was racing to get to the club, and the GPS clocked him going 108.
Oh!
And then within a minute, he accelerated to 136. Okay, be mad, but who wouldn't do the same thing in a rented Lamborghini if you're on a big stretch of highway? Every guy in America would do the same thing.
Al doesn't drive fast, though.
Yeah, I'd probably try and get it up to maybe 75, 80.
So there is a chance that cops saw him racing through the streets earlier in the night, and they just waited until late to make their move.
But they
couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
But they're still likely to get him for being under the influence of the prescription pills in the pot at the time he was arrested. And another charge hanging over Justin's head is this possible egg felony. Yes, that's what's going to get him.
The agony.
Yeah, the agony of the egg felony. The cop searched his house trying to connect him to the egging of his neighbor's house, and apparently surveillance footage did show a little something. According to TMZ, the surveillance tape showed that Justin was around the neighbor's house at the time of the incident, did not show him with any eggs, but they also have video where you can hear but not see Justin making threats at the neighbor. That's the video off of his cell phone, right?
Yeah, the one that everybody's already seen, right?
Plus, the neighbor and his 13-year-old daughter both claim to have seen Justin. He is the one who threw the eggs at the house. And they count as eyewitnesses. So the L.A. County DA's office doesn't believe they have enough evidence to charge Justin with a felony, but they do hope to nail him with misdemeanor vandalism.
If they have eyewitnesses, I mean, what else do you need?
What better eyewitness than a 13-year-old girl?
Well, and
to point out Bieber.
Exactly.
His voice on the video, I would think that would be the voice.
But you can't see him. Your Honor, you can't see him. That's what Olive's attorney has to say. It's just his voice yelling, but you can't see him throwing it.
They bring in, like, forensic, you know, people that can tell whose voice it is. You know, it's like a handwriting analysis.
But that doesn't prove the person speaking is the one that threw the eggs. You know?
Yeah.
Unless they actually, can you testify, little girl, then you saw those eggs leave his hand.
But if you're with somebody committing a crime, don't you become an accessory and part of that crime with him? So if even if he's not throwing the eggs, he's with the guy that's throwing the eggs.
That's what my mom always told me.
That person was quiet and didn't say anything, so they can't, and nobody's talking.
I'm watching too.
Of course he's the one that did it, but I'm just saying, in a court of law, you got to prove these things.
My mom always told me, if you get called, you know, and you're riding in the car with somebody and they got drugs, you got drugs too.
Right.
That's what my mom always told me in doormat court.
I think it's different with that, actually, but
oh,
I think you should be all right.
Okay,
it's in possession. And now I know you've been waiting
with my
mom. This is crazy. We got this audio late last night.
How did we get this?
After Justin Bieber was asked to go to an L.A. courtroom because apparently the people of Los Angeles want him out of there. So this is what took place in this courtroom.
Okay,
totally Justin Bieber and the lawyers and stuff.
Totally real audio.
Yep, totally is.
The following definitely took place yesterday.
Yeah, see?
The names have not been changed to protect the innocent. Welcome to Bieber Court. Please rise. The Honorable Judge Raspberry presiding.
All right, everyone, sit down. Mr. Bieber, you are charged with assault, battery, drag racing, drug usage, mischief, and general douchery.
Yeah, son. Swag, swag, swaggy. Yeah.
Quiet, Mr. Bieber. Big Al Cochran, I suggest you control your client.
Justin, sit down. Let me handle this, son.
All right, good. Mr. Bieber, if you are charged today, you will be deported to Canada. And we will now hear opening remarks from the prosecution. Jenna Allred, please make your case.
I have to be Gloria Allred.
Okay. No, you're Jenna Allred.
Justin Bieber, a name now synonymous with general douchery.
Yeah.
Peeing in buckets and clubs. Spitting on people, throwing eggs, bad graffiti,
That was good.
Drop crotch pants, and exposure. For God's sake, man, can you put a shirt on?
Oh, my bad.
Mr. Bieber has no regard for you, me, or even his own fans. How can we continue to let this go on? I say it's time to come together and get this little jerk out of the country for good. I will prove my point today. The prosecution rests.
Oh, all right. All right, Big Al Cochran, you have the floor.
I say to you, Judge, is being rich a crime?
Yeah.
Is being famous a crime?
Yeah.
Is youth a crime?
Yeah.
Is peeing in a bucket a crime?
Yeah.
Wait, is it? Is making a fairly easy basketball shot when looking into the camera like someone said he couldn't a crime?
Yeah.
Mr. Bieber is just doing what any young pop star would do, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I plan on proving. Since he's gorgeous, you can't deport us. Repeat it with me. Since he is gorgeous, you can't deport us. Since he is gorgeous, you can't deport us.
All right, order, order. Now let's hear from Mr. Bieber.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, first off, swag. And second off, what's up, girl?
Mr. Bieber, please just refer to me as Your Honor.
Oh, it would be my honor, Your Honor, and maybe later I can be honor. You know?
Excuse me?
No, you know, just a little taste of my musical stylings. Nah, but for reals, I'm the most famous person in the world. You know, I could buy and sell this whole courtroom. I just did. I wrote books. I eat fondue. I have awful tattoos. I make music occasionally. I'm, like, slightly above good at skating. I tour all over the world. Therefore, I can do no wrong.
Mr. Bieber, would you say you are douchey?
Don't answer that. Don't answer
it. Is swag douchey?
I rest my case.
All right, let's bring up the first witness. I call to the stand Ms. Chantel Jeffries.
Hello.
Ms. Jeffries, you were in the car with Mr. Bieber the night of his arrest. What would you say he was doing?
He was driving, but not much else.
Ms. Jeffries, remember now, you are under oath.
All right. We were partying, and he played me one of his new songs. It was horrible. Then he wanted to go street racing, but he didn't understand the clutch, so we stayed in first gear.
excuse me, Ms. Jeffries, I have a question for you. Are those real?
Yes.
My man!
Yeah! You know what I'm saying?
Give me
you know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah.
Next witness, Mr. Lil Zay.
Hello!
No.
Zay! Wild Kids for Life!
Mr. Bieber, please be quiet.
Okay. You know, I love that you call me Mr. Bieber, girl. Makes me feel all adulted and stuff.
Mr. Lil Zay, what is it you'd say that you do?
I hang out at Justin's house.
And what else?
I drive his cars, like, super fast.
You do anything else?
Nope.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, my brother. Is that white boy paying you to do nothing?
Yeah.
My man!
All right, we call to the stand the final witness today. That would be President Bill Clinton.
Oh, no.
Oh. Hello!
Mr. President, first of all, let me say it's a pleasure. But are you aware that Mr. Bieber peed in a bucket and then said, quote, F you, Bill Clinton?
I was not.
How do you feel about that?
What is a Bieber?
He is.
Oh, well, go F yourself too, buddy.
So, Mr. Clinton, I was hooking up with all of those ladies while you were the president. Man.
It was pretty great.
My man!
Justin Bieber.
Swag.
I find you guilty, and I sentence you to 10 years in Canada to learn how to be a proper, polite Canadian citizen.
My man!
And I sentence Shannon Murphy to 10 hours of dialect coaching.
Look at Shannon multitasking over there. You had three characters.
Can we isolate all three hellos from
Why?
All three characters?
Why?
Hello. Hello.
Now, I'm just a woman, so I'm not really good at a male impersonation. But let's hear your Bill Clinton again, Shannon.
Yeah, come on.
Hello.
Have you ever heard Bill Clinton speak?
Okay, go ahead.
did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And that seriously sounds like Bill Clinton in your head.
What was that?
I don't know what that was.
I had brain surgery. Apparently, Bill Clinton's voice
no.
out of my head, and y'all can hate.
You only use brain surgery.
Videos.
You can only use brain surgery for just so long.
I can use it for a year.
No, you
can't. For a year?
Yeah, I can. No, that's what the doctor
said. All right, mark it down. You have, 6 months remaining?
Nope.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
What if I told you?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do online dating.
Yeah.
A lot.
I think it's really big, especially the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the holidays, you're like, man, I really missed out. New Year's resolutions.
Right.
You want someone special in your life, so you sign up for online dating.
And let's be honest, it's a little bit easier than going to bars and to clubs and meeting people. You sit at home. You browse through these profiles, and you try to find your future soulmate.
You can basically create your persona. Nobody's there to call you a liar.
Well, but you should tell the truth, don't you?
You should. Absolutely.
You can. But I have. What if I told you there's 7 words you could throw in there that'll make you super attractive online?
7 words.
7 words.
Okay.
You just got to throw them on your dating profile.
Okay.
And they will make you incredibly attractive.
Tell me these words, because I've been on online matchmaking before, and I want to see if I've used any of these words.
Well, this math helped us out with this.
Okay.
Math. So the magazine Wired worked with Match.com and OkCupid to analyze thousands of profiles. So they found 1,000 words associated with the most attractive people.
Okay.
So here are the 2 best words. These are the 2 best words a man or a woman could write on their profile.
All right.
Make you super attractive. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Surfing? And yoga.
But I don't live near an ocean.
And I don't know how to do downward dog.
It doesn't matter if you don't live. Kelly, you could just go on your dating profile and put, I am really interested in getting into surfing.
But then they look at me and they start dating me and realize I'm not going to wear a bathing suit in front of them ever.
What about?
Now I'm a big old liar.
And what happened to hot and rich?
What if you say
hot and rich? We're not in there.
What if you say I like surfing the web?
There you go.
That might actually help you
after I get done with yoga.
Like the sentence they gave you for an example is, "I'm just starting to surf and do yoga," and that blew up that profile.
So if someone responds to you and that's what they like about you, you better start learning to surf and do yoga.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Now the 2 other words that men can use are either ocean and skiing.
Okay.
So if you throw that on your profile.
See, it's moments like these when I realize how undateable I really am. You know?
You don't like to do outside stuff.
I don't like to do anything.
Well, Kelly.
So it's like, you know, and I sometimes have to really check myself because people think it's all a joke when I say I'm not dating. Yeah. I don't ever get asked out. People should be, I get it all the time. I can't believe guys aren't beating down your door. But then I take a real quick self-analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to do anything. I'm not that pleasant to be around. I'm high maintenance emotionally.
But you could see that was for guys.
And materialistically.
Yeah, I'm high maintenance.
I am not good dating material.
Okay. Well, there's a certain segment of guys that like a high maintenance woman.
Where are they?
I don't know.
There's still hope for you.
How
there really
there
is.
Be hope for me,
that's only 4 of the 7.
Because that was for men. Men, if guys put ocean and skiing, it's going to attract women. But for women,
okay,
athlete, you're not going to put that on there, Kelly. I know that.
Okay. So I have to be an athlete?
The word athlete has to be in your profile. And also, London and NYC.
See, now I've been to London
New York. That's right.
So you could say, I love traveling to London and New York City, and guys will be attracted to that.
See, and there's the lie. It's the traveling part. I hate it. Well, I've been there.
Yeah, just say that. I've been to.
What's your ideal? But you've been married, you've dated. What do you like about the relationship? I mean, what's your favorite thing to do with a
get dressed
other?
Up, go out to eat?
Okay. So you say when I was in New York City, I loved this restaurant. So it makes it sound like you travel
a
lot.
A foodie?
A foodie?
Well, that's obvious.
You could put on.
Or I'd love to go to London again, which indicates you've been there. Yeah. But the long flight really beat me down. You know, in a funny way. Maybe you can say those words in a funnier way.
Because I gave you the top ones, Kelly. There are other words that'll make you super attractive online.
Okay.
Let's see if Kelly fits any of these. Fitness.
No.
Were you here? Okay, well, I'm reading them off. Fashion. Okay, how about this one? Laziness.
There you go.
There you go. So that makes me attractive.
Wait, that's an asset?
Yeah. If you put the word late, I guess some guys just
maybe,
like.
Yeah, you know why? Maybe
around.
Because it's like, it's not threatening.
Not threatening at all.
Well, laziness ticks me off.
For some reason, Radiohead, the band.
Oh, see, now that's what people say. Like, Radiohead. I couldn't even tell. But that's, for some reason, that elevates you in cool points if you say you like Radiohead.
That's the thing. A lot of times girls will say, you know, like, my favorite movie of all time is Rudy. You know, just so it's like guys are like, oh, she likes sports movies.
Apparently, the movie is Pulp Fiction, if you want to get guys.
Okay, well, I do love that movie.
You put the movie Pulp Fiction in there, and also the show Homeland.
Oh, man.
So you got a lot of work to do.
I've seen Pulp Fiction, but it was disturbing.
It's one of the best movies ever.
When you get the ball gag thing, I can't stomach that.
Pulp. I like pulp. I like pulp in my orange juice. Fiction, and I read fiction books.
I do like chewy orange juice. There's something really good about that, right?
How we're talking about orange juice now?
I'm just trying to work in these words.
It's Random Man.
He's trying to help, Jenna.
I'm trying to help my sister.
Well,
because I've been on. I remember one year. It was probably 2 years ago. I was on like 3 online dating services at one time. I was on Match.com. I was on Plenty of Fish, and another one.
Christian Singles.
I think it was Millionaire Match or something.
You have to be a millionaire to be on that.
No, you don't. You're looking for a millionaire.
Yeah, I was looking for a millionaire.
Ladies of the Pen.
Yeah, well, that's not really a dating service.
And how did it go for you? I mean, you had some dates.
I did. And I mean, I guess I don't know why. When people ask you where you met, and then you don't want to say online. I don't know.
But it's becoming more and more acceptable. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, I've met people who Match.com. They've gotten married, and they've met on Match.com. So the stigma of online dating is going away.
It's getting better, yeah.
Because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, it's different now. So we decided to write out our 7...
Words
or phrases that we would like to put on our dating profile.
Right.
I completely forgot what I wrote.
I kind of did myself. Because we did this like last week, and now Shannon is going to read the words off, and we are going to guess among ourselves whose word that is.
I think Kelly's will be the easiest one.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like I know you the best with the words that you're going to write.
All right.
Shannon, do you have a list in front of you?
All right, I do.
Okay.
Which one of you said that you are fun?
Well, do all of them. I think it's more...
All of them at once?
Well, all 7 would describe that same person, right?
I think Al said it.
Okay.
Is that how we're going to do it? Just one word at a time?
We're working it out.
I thought we were just going to do a few words and you guys could guess.
All right, well, the funnest one of us would probably be...
I think Al would write that because he's a fun guy.
Al would write that. Al's a fun guy.
He even has
a t-shirt that says, I'm a fun guy.
Yeah, and a picture of a mushroom. Did I say that?
Yes, you did. Good job on that.
Did I say that? Al really doesn't remember.
It was a couple days ago.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, the next one says, I have nice elbows.
I have nice...
Oh, that'd be Jenna. Self-deprecating. No, that's... No?
No? Not Jenna?
Nope.
Okay, it's got to be JC then, because JC would like to brag on himself.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah. I do have some nice elbows.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Are you joking? Are you trying to be funny?
No, I put that on there.
That was what
that's
you would put
on
your
dating,
on dating
profile.
Do you not notice that... Well, first of all, I don't know how to date because I've been married forever, so I don't know what to put on there. So I figure if I put I have nice elbows and they look nice, that people would like that.
Okay. Next.
We're going to have an elbow off.
Who is used to be calling daddy?
What? Used to what?
Used to be calling.
Accustomed to
be. Called daddy.
Okay.
Used to being called daddy. I guess that's Al.
I say JC. No, JC.
I'll say Al.
I'm going to say JC.
Well, you have the answers.
That's because it was JC.
I put that?
Yeah.
Ah, see?
Yeah,
you're not really good at this profile stuff, JC.
Okay, who would say that they are a...
Oh, gosh.
They're hard on the outside and soft on the inside.
Kelly.
Jenna.
Good job, Kelly.
Oh, it's Jenna?
Yep. I know I didn't say it.
Okay.
Who on the show says that they are tall?
Kelly.
That's got to be Kelly.
Kelly, yeah.
You got to put that out there.
All right.
I don't want no short man.
Good job. Who is a procrastinator?
Oh, I think, aren't we all procrastinators?
Kelly to be a procrastinator.
I really don't know. I'm going to say me.
Yeah. Probably when they're really obliterated.
I'm going to go Al.
I'm going to guess me. Oh, it's Kelly?
No, it's you, Al.
Oh.
I'm a procrastinator. I didn't put that down, too.
No, you probably thought about it, but you didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
Kelly, okay. You've already Christmas shopped for 2014. How does that make you
procrastinate? I procrastinate on important things. Important things I procrastinate real bad.
Okay. Next.
Who says that they are high maintenance?
Kelly.
Jenna.
Oh. Yep.
Oh, Jenna?
Jenna
or Kelly?
Jenna,
you're high maintenance?
I think I am. Yeah. I'd just rather put it out there, you know, because then set expectations at me being high maintenance, and then whoever decides to take that on will be like, oh, maybe she's not as high maintenance as advertised.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that in a dating profile, but I know Jenna would.
I don't think any guy would holler
at her. Oh, let me holler at her.
Some men do want to put a woman on a pedestal, though. Yes, where are they? I've seen them before.
Yeah.
What
if I put high maintenance but easy?
Oh, yeah, then it balances each other out.
Hmm. All right.
All right, let's finish off somebody's list. Who says that they are sarcastic, witty, feisty, challenging, nurturing, and a mom?
Kelly.
Well, I kind of gave it away there.
The mom thing did.
Good job. I didn't make the list. That was you.
Way to go, Kelly.
Way to ruin it.
Well, you know, you want to be honest in your profile.
You want to let them know you have children.
I am difficult.
No, you don't. You lie. You lie.
You know what?
It's like at the club. You lie.
Don't pull any punches. That way they're not disappointed.
That takes the whole fun out of dating if you're going to tell the truth. You got to lie to them and get them in. And then they got to find out that you're lying about them. And then you argue about it. And then y'all have makeup sex. And, you know.
What?
Oh, yeah.
All right, whatever. Work it out later.
Goodness. All right. Who says that they are a partier, a laugher, clean, spontaneous, and karaoke or
that's Big Al. You're not clean, Al.
I wouldn't think of you as clean.
I've been to your house and I've seen remnants from last year.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about me.
Well, we think of your apartment and your home when you say clean.
Okay, no, I meant my body.
I mean, you just take it for granted that someone bathes. You know?
Don't take that for granted.
Yeah. That means your home.
Okay, yeah, I could use a little cleanup at the crib.
Yeah.
But my body?
Delusional. Put that down.
Come on, Shannon.
Okay, Shannon.
Okay, who says they are an animal lover, generous, a homebody, a concert goer, and strong Googler?
Jenna. She's generous.
Googling with Jenna.
I really had a hard time thinking of things to describe myself.
Generous.
Yeah.
I wonder who the last one's going to be.
I don't know. I might have thrown somebody else in here just for fun.
Oh, did you?
Hairless. No ifs, ands, or but.
You say hairless?
Yeah.
Yes. Told easygoing is a turnoff on these, so I'm a hard-going guy.
See what I said?
Love breasts, chicken breasts, and is nuttier than squirrel poo. Oh,
tell me you girls want to click on that profile right there.
I probably wouldn't be clicking on
Come on.
That.
Hairless? No ands, ifs, or buts.
Only because of the photo of your elbows.
Will you just, I mean, I'm not going to be doing this ever. So what are the most important words?
I might write down, I'm starting to surf and yoga.
Yoga and surf, two most popular words.
We should do a dating profile for you, Kelly.
No, y'all would screw it up.
No, I mean,
we're going to do it.
With your blessing.
Or we should all just start it without her blessing and see which one doesn't
y'all
pass.
Make no.
Date Kelly Raspberry online, coming up.
There you go.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show. The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
While we wait for Johnny Quinn, the U.S. bobsledder, to call the show, we will catch you up on the opening ceremonies and some of the stuff that went on with the Olympics this weekend, including the Russian police and their version of Get Lucky. Now, before the opening ceremony, the Russian police choir sang their cover of Daft Punk's Get Lucky.
Cool.
The Russian police choir.
Cool.
We come to fight, to give up.
I love it.
You gotta watch the radio on Kick TV.
She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky.
That's
awesome.
Most of the police officers are just standing there, but there's two gentlemen
bobbing their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
There's two guys who are into it. Way more than the other guys.
I love that.
Oh.
I love it.
Isn't it so good?
Yeah. You got to check that video out, Kid TV, or Google it when you get to work.
The two dancers are the best
awesome.
Part.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
And then we did have some Olympic ring problems.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a small glitch. There was a huge light display that was supposed to change from 5 snowflakes, because it's the Winter Olympics, into 5 Olympic rings. And then one of the snowflakes got stuck.
It reached out to some of the most creative minds around the world to put together a show that will prove to the world that this is where the Olympics belong, in Sochi, Russia. Well, and it looks like we have a little bit of a glitch here. One of the snowflakes not quite cooperating and turning into one of the 5 Olympic rings. This is what happens when you're this ambitious in a show like this.
But I'll tell you, we were having dinner at a restaurant and at the bar, and we were watching, so we couldn't hear any of the audio. Mm-hmm. We could just see what was happening. We're like, what's going on? They've changed the logo, because we didn't realize it was a technical glitch.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, when those horses were galloping through the air, the lit up horse, did you see
that? I didn't see it. No,
it was so beautiful. I mean, did anybody see it but me?
I didn't get to watch it.
These gigantic horses, and I don't know the dialogue that was going on, but it was just breathtaking. And they said it was the most expensive Olympic show ever.
Opening or whatever you call it.
Yeah, the ceremony. Opening ceremony ever.
It's what the most expensive gorgeous. Olympics period from what I, like over, was it $50 billion? I don't know, just stupid.
Whoa. But it was just so interesting. They'd show the parades of people coming out, you know, representing their country.
Right.
And literally one person would be representing an entire country.
Yeah.
I mean, and I would get teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Because that's I was like, moving. they have, their hope is on one person and that's it.
And he's probably just doing like one or two events. You know, that one
it's
person.
It was just like, that was just really something to watch everybody walk out.
But
I like that.
Don't you only have one person representing your homeland?
Yeah, skier. I believe it's
Didn't all of Mexico have one person?
Yeah, he's a skier, and I think he's in his 50s. He's a
Wait a minute. But he's like, all of Mexico has one person?
Yes, in the Winter Olympics. No, the Summer Olympics is different.
Yeah, summer's different. But
he's the one that dresses like a matador when he skis. He's got like the uniform that looks like a matador. So he's a rock star.
And he's deep. 55,
and
he's doing it.
He doesn't really place, but he just goes out there and reps.
He's having
peeps.
Fun.
He's having a good time.
Hey, he qualifies.
So there's hope. I could probably be in the next Winter Olympics then, I guess. It's too late to go now.
See, the U.S. Has a lot of
Well, I mean, I don't have to be the only one. I just want to go and hang out.
It's a little more competitive here in the U.S. for the Winter Olympics.
Me and Lolo.
You and Lolo Jones.
What sport would you qualify for?
I could do that curling thing, that little tea kettle thing that you have to push with a broom. I could do that.
You think it's that easy?
Yeah. I got to learn how to skate, probably. No, they don't skate. They don't skate, aren't they?
I don't think so. I think they're standing.
They have shoes on. Yeah.
You just got to learn how to stand up on ice.
And then, with shoes on. And then you got to do that little thing that makes the tea kettle go, one way or the other.
It's a broom.
You're basically sweeping.
Yeah. Oh, I can sweep. I can sleep like a boss. Sweep.
You fall on your back, probably.
Sleep. Either one. I guess that'd be an Olympic event. I would gold every time.
And sleeping?
Here's some things that are making headlines, too. We had our first gay medal winner. Irene Woest of the Netherlands won in speed skating yesterday.
All right.
So she already got hers. Alexei Sobolev, he's a snowboarder from Russia, and he decided that on Thursday during his qualifying event, he was going to put his phone number on his helmet.
Nice.
And that strategy definitely worked because he got a bunch of naked pictures.
Really?
Yeah. I guess a lot of women sent him pictures of themselves.
He put his cell phone number on his helmet.
I mean, I have it right here. I don't know if you want to try it, but it's got a bunch of weird numbers.
Can we call it?
We can probably try to call it.
That's more than a number.
It's probably like a country code.
It's country code and then local code and then all that
care.
Stuff.
I don't want to call it.
He said he's definitely going to call them all back. He says he is. And then our U.S. Sage Kutzenberg, he won the gold medal in the U.S. in slope style snowboarding.
Okay.
And he created a new word, I guess, or at least one that most of us had never heard of before.
Yes, boys, it's kind of new, to the world. But it's just a saying that me and my friends say, my friend Michael Wick made it up, and it kind of just means anything. It could be like, that trick was spice, or she's spice, or...
It's going to be cool now across the country now, and it's going to blow up.
No, it's,
keep it spoice. It's
no,
blowing
it's
up, Kelly.
What's the word?
No, spice.
Spoice?
Yeah, S-P-O-I-C-E.
I'm going to go on record as saying this ain't going anywhere.
You don't think it's going to go anywhere?
No.
It's already an Urban Dictionary.
Anybody can put anything. It's like Wikipedia.
No, once you get into Urban Dictionary, you made it.
Spoice?
I'm an Urban Dictionary.
Keep it. No,
I haven't made it.
You're not a Nervin dictionary.
What is?
I can be if I want to be.
That was spoice. So Kelly Raspberry.
I can if I want to be. Keep it spoice.
Spoice is stupid.
And we already have our Michaela Maroney. You remember the gymnast? They had that picture of her doing that little smirk.
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
All the memes came out. This year, it's Olympic figure skater Ashley Wagner.
That's the one that makes all these different
very expressive. Yeah, very expressive. Yeah.
So she's the new one.
Okay.
Well, it's because she had like a great performance and was really excited, and then the scores did not reflect that.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. They got like different photos of her, like with different expressions. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
She's keeping like it Miley. Spoice.
Pretty spoice.
She's spoice. Keeping it spoice. And oh, I think we may have an Olympian on the phone.
Wow. Maybe he's on the bobsled right now.
Let's ask him questions and stuff. Well, this man earned a degree in criminal justice. He was a part of 3 football conference championships.
At my alma mater.
And played in 3 bowl games, Al.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably what helped him break out of the bathroom in Russia, right, Johnny Quinn?
That's right. I had to use some of my training in the weight room on the football field and here on the bobsled track to get out of there.
Who would have thought that breaking out of a bathroom would make you the darling of the Sochi Olympics?
Right?
I mean, wouldn't you use the term darling at this point, Johnny?
Well, I'll tell you what, the last 24 hours have been quite the whirlwind since putting that photo out on social media. And we figured, hey, it might get a couple retweets, a couple funny comments, but nothing to the extent of what's happened in the last 24 hours.
Well, I have the question that the rest of the world is dying to know about this whole situation. How in the world is Lolo Jones handling this?
No, I didn't think about that once.
I didn't think about that either.
Dude, is she okay? Is she okay, Johnny? Tell me she's okay, please.
She's great. You know, we all travel together, the men's women's bobsled team, and so I've had a chance to get to know Lolo, and just from a personal standpoint, she's a wonderful person and such a phenomenal athlete now that she's competed not only in the summer games, but is going to compete here in the winter games as well.
Mm-hmm. She asked about me, I'm
sure. Well, the first thing I do when we interview anyone is I go to Wikipedia.
It's always true.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, you have one of the most interesting Wikipedia bios I've ever read.
Oh, well, thank you, I guess.
Well, I mean, you started off this football star, track star. You've got a criminal justice degree. I mean, Johnny Quinn.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
your name is even perfect. And then you just ended up in bobsledding because you sent in a video, which I think is just, I don't know if that's true because it's in your Wikipedia, but said that's how you got on the bobsled team is by videoing yourself training.
Well, what I did is once professional football was over for me, I knew I still wanted to compete. And so I sent some of my speed and acceleration film to a pilot at the Olympic Training Center in Lake Placid, New York. And we started to have some dialogue. And during October, this would have been October 2010, during the four-man U.S. team trials competition, one of his guys was overweight. So he called me 2 days before the event. He said, hey, do you want to come up and compete in this event? And I said, well, I'll come, but I've never pushed a bobsled in my life.
Wow.
just get in the sled. And so I fly into the Olympic Training Center the night before the four-man competition, my first time ever on ice, ever seeing a bobsled, ever pushing a bobsled was in the competition, and we took third place. So kind of a unique story on how I got involved.
Now, Johnny, it says here that you suffer from motion sickness, which is something you probably don't want to suffer from when you're in a bobsled going really fast.
Well, that's right. And so when I first got in the sport, I started taking Dramamine quite a bit, and then I realized, hey, I can't take Dramamine every day. And so I ride down in the bobsled with my eyes closed. And so as a push athlete, my responsibility really only lasts about 5 to 6 seconds. Our responsibility is to get the sled up to speed and give our driver the best possible start. And so once we load in the sled, we get out of the airflow, and we're kind of locked in there, my job's over, so I'm allowed and I can ride with my eyes closed.
Right.
Did you see what just happened, Johnny?
Nope.
Had my eyes closed.
Johnny, now I think it just must be like the coolest experience to be at your first Olympics. You know, what an honor. But were you guys, when you showed up to Sochi, were you like, why are they having the Olympics here in these conditions that, you know, I'm sure you have slightly better than conditions than some of the reporters and the, all these photos we've been seeing. But as a whole, all the Americans, were you guys just kind of like
shocked?
Kind of disappointed with these conditions?
Well, from our standpoint, and I've been very fortunate the first week here in Sochi to not only stay in the mountain village, but also in the coastal village. So I've seen two of the three villages and lived in two of the three villages. And from our standpoint and our point of view, the venues, the facility, everything's been very, very nice. The support staff, the volunteers, everyone's been very helpful. So from our point of view, everything's been really good.
Yeah, but you busting out of a bathroom became the, you know, the from Sochi problems, you know. So why don't you just walk us through what happened to you in that bathroom? That's why we have you on the air today, Johnny. What happened to you in the bathroom?
Sure, sure. So I was taking a shower, like you know, normal routine. Yeah. Didn't have my phone. Didn't even have a towel. So I get out of the shower. And I go to the door so I can go get a towel, and the handle feels locked. And so, you know, I check the lock, make sure it was unlocked, and it was, but I still couldn't get the door open. So, you know, I start trying to kind of pry and wiggle the door at the top and the bottom, see if I can, you know, push and pull. I mean, every option you can with the door to try to get it open, and nothing was working. And my roommate was actually in the weight room, so he wasn't in the room. So you know, kind of bang on the door for help. And then my other two teammates who are on the sled, Nick and Dallas, they're in the room next door. So I start beating on the wall towards their side on the tile shower to see if maybe I can get
somebody's
their
attention. Yeah.
And nothing. And so I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I'm in there about an hour. And
oh, my gosh.
I'm anticipating maybe my roommate's going to come back sometime soon, or maybe somebody will come. So I start banging on random things in the bathroom to create some noise. And I get back to the door, and I hit it pretty decent, and it cracks. And so I kind of wind up and go a little bit harder, and my fist goes through the door. And so I pull my hand out, and, you know, I see daylight from the room, and I say, hey, you know, it's time to get out of here.
But, I mean, now, my God, I mean, it wasn't like a gut. I mean, you just didn't.
You just did it.
I mean, in an hour you were locked in there.
Yeah.
It's not like you just decided, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, well, at that point, I was so mad and so frustrated.
And so naked and cold.
I didn't even have a towel, and I'm just sitting there. And when I saw, you know, when my wrist went through, my fist went through the door, it was time to get out.
Has anyone created a meme for you yet with the perfect shining, here's Johnny?
We've seen my teammates and myself, we've seen some pretty creative memes with the door and just some funny slogans. So now that, you know, everybody's safe and the door's been replaced and you know, we're all on the same page, it's something pretty funny to laugh
did
about
you,
now.
Question, do they charge your credit card for incidents?
Right, exactly.
Well, I won't receive that bill to the end of the game, so I'll have to look out for that bill.
Right.
So who's the number one competition for USA in the bobsled?
It's going to be a solid competition. You know, the Russians are obviously... you know, I have quite a bit of training runs. Canada's very strong. The Germans are very strong. So, Swiss, it's going to be a great competition. The four-man is one of the last events of the Olympic Games. We begin on February 22nd.
Wow,
we're kind of chomping at the bit to get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't wait.
Well, we're going to be supporting Johnny Quinn.
Yep.
Coolest name ever.
And Lolo.
Oh, come on.
Oh, stop it out. So, Johnny, this means you can't really, like, celebrate and party in the Olympic Village until your event's over, so you have to watch other people finish and party?
Well, that's not really my style, so I'm having a good time just enjoying the venues, working with the teammates. And I tell you what, watching the other Team USA athletes compete and win medals, that just adds more fuel to my fire. And so it's exciting to see that and cheer on other Team USA athletes as we prepare for our event later in the games.
You know what I think happened this morning?
What? Mm-hmm.
I think we just talked to the perfect man.
Yeah. He's
the perfect man.
Every word out of his his mouth is perfect.
Wow.
I'm serious.
That's from Kelly Raspberry right there, sir.
I'm going to go lock myself in our bathroom and break out.
Yeah, no, it's not nearly as impressive. Johnny Quinn, we are so grateful for you calling in all the way from Russia. So we're going to be looking for you, Johnny Quinn, the 22nd, right?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate you.
And check out Johnny's website, theathletewatch.com, where student athletes can market themselves to college and universities. That's
all
a good
right.
thing you're doing there,
That's
Johnny.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that. Yes.
Thanks, no Johnny. We'll
all
talk
right.
to you.
All right. Good luck. Congratulations.
We'll hopefully talk to you when you're a gold medal winner next.
Dang right, buddy.
Hey, that sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
See you.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
It's a very special week this week, guys.
It is? Well, it's Valentine's week, yeah.
It
oh,
is.
That's right. That's
yes.
right.
There you go. Had to remember that for me. Fellas, you got 4 days. I've been talking to you for the last 2 weeks.
Are you preaching to the choir?
Yeah, he is.
Actually, Kelly, on a side note, and I'll let Jenna finish. I'm going to let you finish, I promise.
No, go ahead.
I'm off the hook a little bit because
she's got to work.
She's on call on Friday on Valentine's Day.
You still better do something.
I know this means, okay, high five, but, you know, do something.
She's off on Thursday, so before midget wrestling, we'll go out to eat.
You know what? Nothing says I love you like let's go to midget wrestling.
Dinner and wrestling, that's
the plan. Dinner and midget wrestling.
I just tell everybody feel what you're doing that. Valentine's night at your bar.
Valentine's night.
Have you heard?
I haven't told y'all.
I haven't heard.
But I was going to give you tickets anyway. After the little people for wrestling leave, I have another group coming in, Mini Kiss.
Valentine's night.
They
dress up like miniature Hershey Kisses.
No. They're the band. People dressed like Kiss, a tribute band, and they play their own instruments and everything. So we take the wrestling ring out for Thursday. We set up a stage for Friday, and these guys come in, and they play like, I think, a little over an hour.
You really know how to put a romantic night together.
And it's a Kiss cover band. Tickets to My Not Derek, and I told Derek, we are not going.
Oh, come on, Kelly.
Come on, Kelly.
No.
They could take you out to dinner somewhere, and then you can come do Mini Kiss?
No.
But they are supposed to be really good. Everybody tells me really
Valentine's
good.
Valentine's night.
Yeah, nothing says I love you like a little kiss. Get it?
Shouldn't you space out the little events that you're having?
I thought I'd go ahead and put them right there together.
It's the same people. They just put on makeup,
No, it's not.
Well, if Mini Kiss at Big Al's Bar is also not for you and your significant other on Valentine's Day, we here at Kid Craddock in the Morning are doing something really cool. We're getting very romantic for Valentine's Day, and it could mean that you and your sweetheart could head out on an unforgettable trip to the Crystal Coast along North Carolina's southern Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm.
Every day this week till Thursday, we are going to reenact some romantic movie scenes from very famous movies.
All right.
And then when you hear us do the scene, you're going to need to go to KidNation.com or just get on your Kid Nation app and enter the title of the movie from the scene we did. We're not going to tell you what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
You should be able to know.
Okay. Yep.
You just need to enter the title, and then on Friday, we're going to draw a winner, and you're going to get imagination vacation. We're giving away an imagination vacation, but it's not imaginary. It's a real vacation.
It's a real vacation.
Okay. Yeah, an imagination vacation to the Crystal Coast along North Carolina's southern Outer Banks, so you're going to be able to take your significant other on a romantic trip.
Now, here's the thing. We are not allowed to look at any of the scripts.
Right.
So our producer, Nick, is just going to come in here and rip, and we have to read.
It's called a cold read.
Rip and read.
It's called a table read out.
Yeah, so we don't know what movies, what scenes, who's playing who, what gender, what anything.
So this is going to be good, is what we're saying.
All right.
This is so good.
Is anyone nervous?
I am.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Not at all?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, Kelly, you will be playing the part of the woman today.
Yay!
And Big Al, you're going to be the man.
Yeah.
Wait, is there any physical contact involved?
Yep. I hope so.
I don't know. We'll have to see when we read the script.
Whatever the script says.
Where's my mouthwash?
Here you go.
I'm drinking coffee, so you got to deal with it. Where do we go?
Don't look
so
at it.
So W stands for woman?
Yes, in the script, there's a W. That means woman.
Got it.
And then an M, that means?
Man.
All right. Go.
You ready?
All right, let's go.
And action.
I'm sorry about the way my father treated you.
No, your father was great. He was great. He way took care of Penny.
Okay, read that line again.
He was great. The way he took care of Penny. I'm sorry. That's why it's called a cold read. Yeah, all right, I got it.
I mean the way he was with you. It's really me it has to do with. Johnny, I came here because my father...
No. The way he saved her, I could never do anything like that. That was something. People treat me like I'm nothing. Because I am nothing.
That's not true. You're everything.
You don't understand the way it is for somebody like me. Last month, I'm eating candy to stay alive. This month, women are stuffing diamonds in my pockets.
Wow.
I'm balancing on nothing, and I can be down there again.
No, it's not the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way.
I've never known anyone like you. You think you can make the world better. Somebody's lost. You find them. Somebody's bleeding, and you...
I go get my daddy. That's really brave, like you said.
That took a lot of guts to go to him. You're not scared of anything.
I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of what I saw. I'm scared of what I did, who I am. I'm scared of walking out of here and never feeling for the rest of my life the way I feel when I'm with you. Dance with me.
What, here?
Here.
Let's do it.
Scene?
Oh, scene.
Scene.
Oh, okay. I was waiting on someone to say scenes that have the script.
Sorry, I'm not a professional.
Meg, Kelly, you were great, Kelly.
Thank you.
How was I?
Okay, if you know what movie Kelly and I were just reenacting, go to KidNation.com and enter the title, and then you're going to be registered to win this trip to the North Carolina Southern Outer Banks with your sweetheart.
Be honest, do you have a clue?
I have no idea.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
How did I do in relation to,
wow,
like, the way it was actually delivered,
wow,
the lines in the movie?
Wow.
I don't know what movie it was, but I can tell you it's not that good.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
I know the Olympics are going on in Russia and everything.
Yeah.
But we still have some sports going on here in the States. It was the first weekend without any NFL football.
I know.
But basketball.
Damn.
College basketball is starting to gear up because March Madness is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So all the teams are trying to play their best. But something happened yesterday that ended up with one of the players getting suspended for 3 games. The player's name is Marcus Smart.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I've ever seen this actually happen in college sports, or at least in college basketball, but the fans are extremely close. The fans are extremely loud. They taunt these players. Mm-hmm. These are guys who are not getting paid. Some of them just get scholarships, but
right,
they're college kids. They're still young. And
of course, the fans, the ones that down there in the prime seats, these are alums that have been fans for a long
boosters,
time.
Yeah.
They pay a lot of money in a lot of cases to get these primo seats.
It's
right?
Always so interesting. I've sat a couple of times at an NBA game, gotten, you know, lucky and gotten to sit close to the court.
There.
And it's crazy. I mean, the how they're able to stay focused, you know, especially like just with the harassment you know, when you're playing an opposing team with what fans do.
So Marcus Smart plays for Oklahoma State,
mm-hmm,
and they were playing Texas Tech. And towards the end of the game, he tried to block a shot. He went into the stands. And next thing you know, he is face-to-face with one of the Texas Tech fans, and he just reels back and pushes him as hard as he can.
With two hands.
The player pushes the fan.
Player pushes the fan. They had some words. He got sent to the bench. After the game, he was told he would be suspended for three games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to explain why he pushed the fan.
He pushed the fan because allegedly when he fell down there, he was called a racial slur. This is from Marcus Smart coming.
That's what Marcus Smart is a black guy and the fan's a white guy.
Yes.
And allegedly, this, I think his name is Jeff Orr.
Reason you know his name is because when the guy's giving the press conference, he calls him out by name.
Yeah. He apologizes to him.
But by apologizing and calling him out by name, he's also sicking everybody on it.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Now, did he say, I didn't catch this. I just caught like little highlights of it. But in the press conference, at least the part that I saw, Marcus Smart didn't say there that he was called a racial slur.
No, he did not.
He had just said
that.
No, but
everybody knew.
Here's Marcus Smart on his press conference.
I truly apologize. This is not me. And I really do apologize for it, and like I said, I'll take responsibility and the consequences that come with it.
And a lot of the times the athletic director will tell you, you need to apologize to this man by name. And so it might have been that, you know, they told him, this is this gentleman's name, apologize to him, because he was having a press conference of his own where he apologized to the Texas Tech fans, and he apologized to Marcus Smart. And it's one of those situations that it's he said, she said, or he said,
Well, if he said that, There should be a few people sitting next to him.
Somebody would have
heard it. And somebody would say, yes, he did say it. No, he didn't say it. Something.
And have you ever had it where somebody says something to you and you think they said it, but they may have not said it? So maybe Marcus Smart thought, yeah, I think he said it. I literally think he said it, mm-hmm. but he actually didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to wrap my brain because I had this same incident. We talked about this, and somebody was telling me, I just knew he pushed a fan.
Yeah.
And somebody was telling me why he pushed a fan. I was like, wow, that just happened to me like 2 weeks ago at my bar. And it took, you know,
everything.
It took everything for me not to do what he did. But, you know, again, I understand that I would have been justified if I had pushed a guy, I think, in my head.
Well,
but I don't know.
A lot of people say it's never justified physical violence, but I use this as a teaching moment with my daughter.
Yeah.
Because we happen to be watching the news and she's not always paying complete attention.
Right.
But then she's like, why did he push him? I said, well, he says the man in the stands called him a very bad name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he pushed him. I said, but, you know, we should never, right. you know, we shouldn't right. call bad names and we should never fight.
Right.
And she goes, you do it to me, mommy. I said, what? She goes,
push me?
Call me a bad name so I can push you. I was like, what do you mean to call you? She's doofus. So she made me call her doofus.
Okay.
So she could push me. She goes, okay, now my turn. She called me a doofus and wanted me to push her. I'm like, I guess we learned something here.
We do.
What? And, what?
I don't know.
To push each other?
But no. In her world, doofus is really bad.
The right. good thing about this is that both men apologized afterwards. They didn't really do the pointing to the fingers.
Yeah.
Mr. Orr even said, I didn't call him the racial name. He called him a piece of crap, is what he's saying. He said, I called him a piece of crap, and I should not have called him a piece of crap. And he's right. Why are you calling a 20-year-old, 21-year-old college basketball player a piece of crap when you're an adult man?
I have been to a professional NBA game,
yeah.
and I have been sitting next to the opponents where the opponents walk in and out of the arena.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
They are.
The things
are, yeah.
that grown adult men say to those players simply because they're on the other team.
Right.
The most horrible, vile things. It's embarrassing
it
to
is.
Be from the home team listening to people do that crap. And it happens.
But they do it.
Why would you think it wouldn't happen in college?
Yeah, that's true.
No, I mean, it does happen in college.
They say the most awful things.
But because I didn't watch the game, when I saw that, I thought another college student was talking to him and he shoved another college fan. This is an adult. This is a man.
Yeah.
A grown
He's a man.
Man.
Dude, that's a grown man. They're still the opposing team. They're all grown men acting like sure. children.
And there's also a video of this same fan making an obscene gesture to another player for an opposing team a couple years back, like when he was making a free throw
shot.
He's
got season tickets. He's
right there.
Yeah, okay, so the player's suspended for 3 games. I mean, it seems kind of like a severe punishment. And mm-hmm. The fan wasn't...
He just apologized.
Escorted out or not allowed to come back?
No, he stayed.
Yeah, he stayed.
It was. I mean, the game was basically over. So I don't know. Can fans get suspended? I'm sure you can.
I would think you can get banned from anywhere.
Yes, of course you can.
Because
I got a couple of people banned from my bar.
So he's a part of it.
You can ban someone.
I mean, it's nothing compared to that. What was that when Ron Artest? Remember? It was almost 10 years ago when the Pistons and Pacers were playing. They got into a brawl mm-hmm. with fans in the stands,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
jumping over the chairs.
That was crazy, man.
And then another news that came out a little bit later that night, yesterday, was our potential first ever openly gay NFL player. I say mm-hmm. potentially because he is not quite in the NFL yet. His name is Michael Sam.
He's a top prospect.
He's a top prospect from Missouri. He's a consensus All-American.
Right.
So he's really good. They're saying he's probably a third to fifth round
mm-hmm.
choice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably looking to getting into the NFL. And then he made this announcement yesterday.
You know, some people don't see, you know, gay people playing in sports. But, you know, I'm happy who I am. I know how to play the game. I'm a football player, and that's all that matters. I'm Michael Sam. I'm a college graduate. I'm African American, and I'm gay.
Whoa! Boom!
About that. Proud
that,
of him.
Yeah. That's
strong.
You know what makes me like him even more too is that he didn't wait until he was in the NFL and made it about himself when he was on a team, on a brand new team.
Right.
He did it now. Before
he gets drafted.
Before he got drafted, which puts it all on him. He has to go to the combine still and perform.
Well, this
he still
this
has to do the interviews.
This is a very calculated move.
He just wanted to go in and said, forget about
it.
It
might boost
go.
Him up in the draft.
No.
Yeah.
It might.
I mean, it could. There's,
teams want that guy that is going to sell tickets for one way or the other. If you can't sell it by your play on the field, by your Tim Tebow-ness,
you know,
by being that guy that gets a lot of attention.
That is what you would hope.
Yeah.
But it's already being said that NFL executives are saying that that's actually going to probably hurt them. Because for some reason, it is still not normal in those locker rooms for this to be out there. And that's society's fault.
I will have to respectfully disagree with the National Football League.
Is, I know, and you know, but you're not the executive making the choices.
That's
and
true.
Playing for Missouri, you know, he came out to his coach and teammates before this last season. And I think the good thing about this is he's actually really, really good.
He's really good.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not just like some peripheral,
right?
You know, like a Jason Collins coming out playing, well, basketball player, different sport, but still, you know, coming out. It's like this guy could be a top draft pick.
Yeah, and they're saying the executives might be saying one thing, and the analysts are saying, you know, he's a little bit smaller than you're used to, but they don't think that sexuality will be a factor in this.
Yeah, I could see an owner saying, yeah, I want that guy on my squad. Yeah, he's a good player. He's gay. He's going to get a lot of attention. Going to sell a lot of jerseys. It's a business decision at the end of the day, you know, about who's going to win you some games and who's going to sell you some tickets.
And he's got guts.
Yeah.
Man, he's got guts to do this, to be the first player ever in the NFL to come out.
That's what I understand. There's so many.
That's what
I mean.
Deion Sanders.
There's so many that, I mean, forever. There, you know what I mean? It's just been hush hush. I mean, every team has someone, I'm sure, in every sport.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders said that.
Said what?
He said Michael Sam isn't the first gay player in the NFL, although he is the first to come out. Real talk. Let's show him love like a family member. Truth.
Truth. Yeah, truth. I'm gonna start saying truth after anything I say. Like, I'm going to get something to eat. Truth.
Hashtag.
Right. Yeah, that's what Deion says all the time.
Yeah.
But I guess he's been getting a lot of support. And so far, it's looking good for him.
What are you going to do? Come out against him? You can't.
Believe it or not, some people will do that because they're ignorant.
Give me the list of people that's coming out against
him. I'm sure we will have a list on BuzzFeed eventually of the people that wrote the horrible things. But so far, from executives or
professional
from...
professional athletes and celebrities, they're all going to jump on the we support him bandwagon, right?
It's just the locker room situation, right? That's the concern.
Yeah.
No one's going to outright say that they're not comfortable except for those athletes in the locker room are like, oh, I'm uncomfortable because he might be into me.
No.
And we're all walking around naked. He's into me.
No, they won't think that. And he already went through it once with his college football team.
Yeah, he said there was a little bit of, like, the coach was worried about him coming out, you know, but when he
plays so well. Like, it might affect
him
in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he was, like, a first-team All-American, and he was, like, defensive player of the year for the SEC. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, once talent proves it, what are people going to say?
I just like it come the day when people don't have to hold a press conference to come out, that it's not a news-making. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And, you know,
it's just, like, you don't have
to it happens.
And I think
he's one of those guys that likes to tell the truth. And when you go to the NFL Combine, they ask you questions of, do you like girls? And I think he thought to himself, you know, they're going to ask me that question. Am I into girls? Am I a ladies guy? And he can't lie. I'm going to have to tell him right there. So I think he just took this bull by the horns and he did it his own way.
Well, another benefit for the team that drafts him, he can help in picking out the cheerleader uniforms.
Al, see? Al. You can't say stuff like that.
What I do want to see.
He might be good.
I want Vladimir Putin to tell him how he feels about gay athletes to his face. Come on, Vladimir Putin, see how you can handle that. Good old Michael Sam.
Good old Al Mack.
Yeah, good old Al Mack and his comments.
He's changing the uniform.
So, congratulations, Michael Sam, breaking down barriers.
There you go.
But the potential first NFL openly gay athlete. We're proud of you, buddy.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast, a condensed version of the show. Kid Craddock in the Morning.